I'm reading from Proverbs 3, verses 19 to 27. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. I did a lot of youth work in my early days of ministry. While I was in seminary, Sue and I worked with a youth group in Racine, Wisconsin. We would meet Wednesday nights and start off with some wild games. Ultimate Smurlets, Fishy Come Swim in My Sea, American Eagle 1-2-3. We'd get these kids worked up into a sweaty frenzy. And then we'd transition into a classroom where we would have a time of worship, often very energetic worship. And then we'd sit down for a Bible study. Just think of it. Sweaty teens in a confined space trying to concentrate on significant spiritual truth. I can tell you that by the time we got to the Bible study portion of the evening, the air was thick. As youth leaders, we would often talk about the need for a basket at the door of that room with some of those travel-sized deodorants that the kids could take as they entered for everyone's benefit. It's hard to focus on the lesson when your eyes are watering from the fumes. Aroma is a powerful sense. Often a familiar smell is enough to trigger these incredible memories. The effect is immediate and strong, whether the aroma is fragrant or foul. We do our best to mitigate the foul smells as much as possible. But even with the benefit of all the different deodorizing products that we have at our disposal, we still struggle. That youth group that we were part of was in Racine, Wisconsin, the site of the corporate headquarters of SC Johnson Wax, parent company of Glade air fresheners. And even we weren't spared from the onslaught of powerful body odor. In the ancient world, that battle against foul odors was constant. They had rudimentary sewage systems, minimal cleaning products. There was no underarm deodorant, no liquid soap, no aromatic candles, no plug-in deodorizers. To fight the stink, rooms were filled with incense. People were sprinkled with fragrant ointments and perfumes to mask more offensive odors. These were made from numerous ingredients, including myrrh, spikenard, frankincense, juniper berries, lemon, citronella, mint, vanilla, and various other flowers and plant extracts. When entertaining, it was customary to anoint the head or feet of guests with fragrant ointment. This was a mark of respect for the guests, but also served to retain the pleasant atmosphere of the gathering. The heat of the climate, the poorly ventilated houses, the perspiration of the assembled made this attention to odor necessary. These ointments and perfumes were often mixed by experts and commanded high prices. They were often used for trade, were lucrative commodities that held a lot of value in a small and easily transported quantity. Perfumes were so commonplace in Israel that tiny juglets that would have been used to hold these small quantities of fragrant substances are regularly found in excavations, so commonplace that you can buy them from certified antiquities dealers in Jerusalem. There's a reason that they're allowed to sell these. There are too many of them to restrict them to museum collections. Scripture reflects the prevalence of fragrant perfumes in a number of places. Consider Proverbs 7, verse 17, where the smooth-tongued adulteress is described luring her victims with this enticing prospect: I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, cinnamon. Come to my bedroom, she's saying, and see how delightful it smells. In the love poem of Song of Solomon, the question is asked, what is that coming up from the wilderness like columns of smoke perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the fragrant powders of a merchant? What is it, indeed, that comes up smelling so wonderful? Well, the text goes on to tell us that it's Solomon's carriage with the king and his many attendants. They come as this wave of pleasant fragrance. A few verses later, Solomon is described by his lover as being like a sachet of myrrh that lies between her breasts, describing a practice of women concealing small packets of fragrance in their bosoms. It's like a personalized, portable air freshener. You couldn't always control the smell of the room that you were in, but you could always make sure that you had a pleasant smell nearby to overpower any stench. And in addition to perfumes, the ancient world relied on oils to control smell. Soaps would have been known in Solomon's day, typically made using oil, especially olive oil, as their base ingredient. But more simply, sometimes oil infused with fragrances would be used as a soap alternative. It would just be used for a moisturizer for the dry skin, with that added benefit of a pleasant aroma attached. Psalm 104, verse 15, celebrates God giving the trees that man uses to make oil to make their faces shine. This is not cooking oil or oil for lamps. This is oil for cosmetic purposes, a moisturizer, bringing back to life the dry and dirty skin. The Song of Solomon opens with an invitation from the woman in chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is oil poured out. Therefore, virgins love you. His name is described as oil poured out, oil that had already been described as fragrant. His name is this beautiful smell. It's a poetic way to describe his sterling reputation. When people hear his name, it is the reputational parallel of smelling a wonderful fragrance. So here is what Solomon has to say in our chapter, Proverbs 27, verse 9. Oil and perfume make the heart glad. This is what we've been talking about. Oil and perfume used to combat the offensive smells of a dirty world. These aromas of good perfume or a fragrant oil can bring deep pleasure to your soul. As repulsive as a bad stench is, so a pleasant smell is just as powerful in its positive impact. It's calming, and joyful, and pleasant. It's a delight to catch a whiff of that wonderful aroma. So much so that Solomon describes it as making the heart glad. It thrills the soul. Solomon sees in this an analogy to true friendship. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, he says, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. The NIV translates earnest counsel as heartfelt advice. And that probably gets at Solomon's intent. The earnestness comes from a genuine concern, a sincere love. These are people who truly want the best for you. Their advice is like a sweet-smelling aroma in a reeking environment. It is a breath of fresh air to have a friend who can give honest advice and genuine encouragement. They may provide insight into your habits, your priorities, your attitudes, your weaknesses, your gifts, your character that you would not have noticed on your own. They speak the truth in love. They bring a perspective that helps you to see things more clearly from a perspective that we might not consider otherwise. We can benefit from the perspective of others. But all too often, the counsel that we receive from others can come with a selfish agenda, an insincere concern, a judgmental attitude. This is the kind of advice that is a foul odor. It stinks. But occasionally, we get the input of a true friend. Their caring words, deep insight, gentle correction. They're like a sweet aroma that gladdens our hearts. I hope you've had the chance to smell that in your life, to have friends whose heartfelt advice is like a breath of fresh air, as we might say. I hope also that you would want to be that aroma for others, to be a person who speaks with truth and sincerity and love and wisdom into the lives of people that God has placed in your life. In a stinky world, to be the smell of perfume and fragrant oil for others. We've all heard the saying, blood is thicker than water. We use it to say that the blood ties of someone's family are more substantial than any other relationship. And by implication, the bond of friendship is not as strong as your bond within your family. And in many cases, this is true. It's the family tie that binds us to our siblings, our parents, our children. And these are people that we will drop everything for, even if we live miles and miles apart. Even if we haven't seen each other in a long time, the family bond is strong enough to retain a deep commitment to one another. But the origins of this proverb go back to the Middle Ages. And from what I could find, the original quote in its entirety is a little bit different. In its entirety, it said, "The blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb." It was only shortened to "blood is thicker than water" afterward, which means that the original intent was the exact opposite of the way that we use the shortened form today. The water of the womb would point to family relationships, while the blood of the covenant would point to a solemn agreement, a contract, a deep bond of some kind that would be more important than familial ties. I have three brothers, one older, two younger. We live scattered here and there. My older brother lives in New Jersey, in the town I grew up in. I see him a couple times a year. He was, in fact, just here a few weeks ago, camping at Eighth Lake Campground. I also have a brother in Ohio, one in Kansas City. I love my brothers, but because we live so widely scattered, we don't often get the opportunity to see each other. Proverbs 18:24 says that there's a friend who is closer than a brother. It's possible for friendships to become closer than family ties. And this is particularly important in our day when people often don't live close to their biological family. How many of us here have immediate family within 60 miles? Most of us here this morning don't have much family in the vicinity. For many of us, a small circle of committed, loyal friends is better than the natural relationships of a family. Family's great, but having a reliable and caring neighbor close by can sometimes be more helpful than a family member who's physically distant. Someone nearby can provide immediate assistance, encouragement, companionship in times of need. Relationships are built on active presence, not just blood relations. And so, without undermining the value of family bonds, Solomon recognizes the value of proximity. Here he says, "Do not forsake your friend and your father's friend. This is a way of saying, don't desert tried and true friends, the multi-generational father's friends, just a relationship that's been weathered through longevity. This is a friend whose loyalty may stretch back even to the previous generation. Their faithfulness and love have been proven over time, and the value of that track record should not be understated. These relationships should be treasured and cultivated above new friends who may seem more exciting, but don't have the history to prove character. Solomon himself valued his father's friend Hiram, king of Tyre, when he came to power, and relied on Hiram to provide supplies for the building of the temple, particularly cedar from the famous forests of Lebanon, according to 1 Kings 5, verse 1. Solomon continues his thought, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. I don't think that's intended as an absolute prohibition. It's the setup for an expression of what is better. For all of us, there will come times of crisis and disaster when we will need support, times when we would not be wise to try to navigate through alone. We need help. There's no shame in that. And Solomon is suggesting that we not just default to family in those moments. There may be a better alternative to help us navigate through crisis. Here is why he would caution going to your brother's house on the day of calamity. Better is a neighbor, he says, who is near than a brother who is far away. Immediate assistance from nearby friends can be more beneficial than delayed help from distant family ties. An available friend is better than an unavailable relative. A neighbor can come to your aid when family are unable to help. In a world marked by increasing disconnection, this remains extremely relevant. We should invest in nurturing and maintaining relationships in the community where God has placed us, knowing that we may need those meaningful connections when we face crisis. This proverb is a nice compliment to the previous proverb about a friend's heartfelt advice being like perfume and fragrant oil. Authentic friendship is incredibly valuable, and we should work hard to cultivate these kinds of relationships. This is why a local faith community is so important. God envisions the local church as the body of Christ in which the members are interdependent. He uses the language of family to describe the bonds within the faith community. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. This is a context where we can find these friends who are near and able to provide practical support when we face crisis. Of course, relationships are hard. Our struggles with sin often surface most profoundly in relational context. There are normal relational strains of misunderstanding and selfishness and prejudice and gossip and hurt and anger. And relationships within the church are not exempt from all these pressures. Loving relationships are always hard to cultivate and maintain, whether inside or outside the church. Just because people are part of the same faith community doesn't erase the challenges of love. But we're better off for not giving up on those relationships and doing the hard work of apologizing, forgiving, reconciling. We're formed by our relationships, and sometimes that means by learning to grow through conflict. Relationships are stronger for having been through hardship. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 and 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return or good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. The whole is worth more than the sum of its parts. Two in cooperation, worth more than two individuals in isolation. The benefit of partnership is worth the struggle of growing it. In that partnership, there is found a support that we all need and that cannot be found alone. So we should be cultivating these relationships. Relationships that we need for life. Authentic friendships built on trust, transparency, mutual respect. We should be investing time and effort into nurturing deep connections with a few trusted individuals, allowing for the development of genuine bonds that are built on honesty and vulnerability. Solomon encourages us to appreciate and nurture the relationships that we have with people in our immediate vicinity, recognizing the profound impact they can have on our lives and the profound impact that we can have on their lives. You see, I believe that God has placed you here for a reason. I may not know all that's involved in that, but in part, you are here to be the neighbor who is near for those who may need it. And I believe that God has near neighbors for you to support you when things are hard. God has brought you here to be part of this community of faith, not just to attend services or learn from the teaching, but to be in relationship with people that know or that God knows you need and who need you as well. To be a community that would support one another. To be family to you. Even if your biological family is far away. To be and to have near neighbors for those times when calamity strikes. Better a near neighbor than a faraway brother. Let's pray. So, Lord, we're grateful for these proverbs from Proverbs 27 that are reflections of the value of the relationships that you've given us, that the earnest advice of a friend is like a beautiful fragrance of perfume, and that a near friend and neighbor is better than a faraway family member. We're grateful, Lord, that in this community of faith, we can find those kind of relationships that are a sweet aroma in our lives and that do provide us with the nearness of a friend who's there to help. So, Lord, help us to build those kind of relationships within this community, to love and to be loved, and to benefit from all of that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.